Good morning, church.
Good morning.
How are you?
Great.
Very good. It's good to be back with you. I'm starting to feel myself now, so that's a lot better. There was a little bit of a hangover effect from the being sick, but I'm about to get over all of that. A little bit of a lingering cough. Hopefully that won't appear this morning. But it is. It's good to be back. I'm excited. LTC's coming up. Isn't that fun? That ought to be a great weekend. I'm anxious to hear about all the stories and all the good things that are going to happen there. So excited about that for the children, for this church, good things happening there. I want to this morning continue looking at some of the parables in Matthew. And this morning we're going to be doing the parable of the weeds. You can be turning to Matthew 13. If you'd like to read along, of course, it'll be on the screen for you there. And I understand that this really, in a way, is related. Daniel did the mustard seed last week. So we'll continue on in that particular section. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the parable of the weeds, and we're going to skip a few verses and then move to the explanation that Jesus gives. Y'all heard the intervening stuff last week, so that's how we'll do it. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root the wheat up with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" Skip down now to verse 36. "Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He answered, 'The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." You got any weeds in your life? Any weeds? Yeah. Spring has sprung, hasn't it? Doesn't feel like it today, I realize. But technically, spring has sprung. And that means what? Yard work, right? That means time to start fighting weeds. I have a very good appreciation for Roundup. How about y'all? Isn't that good stuff? And it's a frustration, because I think I've told y'all before, gardening and yard work is not really my thing. My ideal would be is that once a year, you go out, you get the yard the way you want it to look, and it stays that way until another year, right? Doesn't work that way, does it? Because it's amazing how fast, isn't it, that the weeds come up. Yeah. Now, and I say that just as a beginning to kind of lead into that, obviously that's not really the kind of weeds we're talking about here in this text. See, there's other weeds that we have to deal with in life. How many of you here, and you don't have to raise your hands, it's kind of a rhetorical question here, but how many of you here have known somebody that cheated and got away with it? Yeah. Now, I'm not talking in an ultimate sense. They're going to answer to God for that. But what all I'm really saying is they didn't get caught here. Does that make sense? So yeah, ultimately, they'll answer for that. Okay? But I'm just telling you, I'm going to give you an example. When I was my senior year, we did a senior trip. And we had a bus, and we were going all over the Southeast, and we were in Florida, and we spent a day at Disney World. So we're there in Disney World, and we've been doing all the stuff we're going to do, and there's a bunch of us guys are sitting around kind of under this little shaded area. And of course, they got lots of stores, right? So one guy gets up and says, "I guess I better get my girlfriend something." He's dating a junior, so she's not on the trip. So he gets up and he goes into one of the stores, And then he comes back to us and he sits down and he looks around and he reaches under his shirt and he pulls out a shirt for her. He just shoplifted. So then he's examining the shirt and he notices that kind of there in the armpit area, the seam isn't done all the way and it's actually open. He says, "This is no good." And he walks back into the store, except this time he walks up to the counter and he says to the lady behind the counter, the little girl there, he says, "I just got this here, but look," and he shows her the seam. She says, "Well, I'll hold this for you. Go get another one, sir." And he goes and he gets another one. He takes it up there, shows it to her. She says, "Would you like a bag for that?" And he says, "Could I please?" And she puts in a bag for him and he walks out the store. You see what I mean by he got away with it? He never got caught. And I'm sure when he went back to his girlfriend, he gave her that from the senior trip, she probably thought what? "Oh, thank you." It's discouraging, isn't it? Weeds. Weeds. It's tough. Yeah. And I use that one as a fun one, but I'm just saying that if you think about it, everybody here knows people that take advantage of the system, cheat the system, or do things in an effort to get ahead. And for all appearances right now, it looks like it's working. And if you're on the side of trying to do right, it drives you crazy. It drives you crazy. "Lord, could you pluck that weed? Even better, let me do it for you." You ever want to pull a few weeds in the context we're talking about here? Yeah, yeah, we do that kind of stuff. You see? Now, as we talk about all that and we look at it, we realize that life is complicated, isn't it? This is a parable about complications in life. Yeah. And again, I want to use just kind of a fun example from, maybe it's not too close to home, but now, and I don't know if it's true or not. I'm just going to tell you what I've been told. We can go with it. I've been told, I don't know if it's true, y'all can correct me on the way out, that the mob runs the trash service. Maybe that's true in New Jersey, I don't know. I just wonder about it here in Texas. But I've been told that. I mean, I've heard it asserted by some very people that I respect. They say, the mob runs the trash service. Okay? Well, in my HOA, you have to have trash service. And they have a provider that they've contracted through. And you have to have it as a part of the HOA. Now, again, I'm not saying the mob runs the trash service, folks. I don't really know. But let's assume they did for a moment. What do you do? You see, what I'm saying is that evil is pervasive in this world, and sometimes trying to sort it all out is tough, isn't it? Everybody here, I suspect if you've lived any length of time, have found yourself in a situation you probably say, "I'm not sure exactly what to do." And in a way, isn't that what the parable of weeds is getting at here? I mean, our reaction is, "Lord, could you just come down here and pull all the weeds?" And I think he's trying to tell us that may do more damage than good. That may do more damage than good. Preacher, years ago, I heard him tell this story. He, and I can't remember his name now, it's been enough years, but he worked at a, I guess I would say, probably more of an inner city church. And I don't really have that much experience with inner city churches, but I gather they must talk a little more plainly than we do here. Maybe that's fair. But what it was is you had a lot of single family homes, and truthfully it was a lot of mamas trying to take care of their children, and mamas have got a job and they got to be there, and very often they got to be at the job or they got to leave to get to the job before school starts. Well, the school is not letting those children in until a certain time, and you've got a lot of children that have maybe sometimes an hour to hour and a half of free time, and because of the situation, because of all that, mama is stressed and they're not getting breakfast. So the church in this community sat down and they said, "We need to do something about this. We got kids running wild and we got kids that aren't getting fed." So they had a little meeting and they gathered everybody in. They said, "You know what? We've got a building here. We can feed these kids. We can give them some breakfast and we can give them a little bit of activity, give them a little bit of structure until it's time for school to start, and then they can go to that." How's that sound? Sound good? Yeah. So they had the meeting and different people thought it was a good idea and they're all volunteering for different things. And one guy from the community stands up. He's not a member of the church, but a guy from the community stands up. He says, "Tell you what, I will buy all the milk. I'll buy all the milk that these children will use for this program." He sits back down. After the meeting's over, one of the members comes up to the preacher. And again, they speak more plainly than we would here. He says, "Preacher, we cannot take milk from this man. I know you know this man. I know that you know the bad things he has done. We know that he has multiple girlfriends. We know the ways that he's cheated people. And he just lists litany. And he ends up by saying, preacher, the man is going to hell. And the preacher looks at the member and he says, let the man buy some milk on his way to hell. Now, see, here's the interesting thing. I could stand over here if I wanted to, and I could argue the member's side. Could you? I can get that point. When I was in campus ministry, every year I would get a letter from the university because we were a recognized student organization. And they would say, as a recognized student organization, you can appeal for, you can ask for student service fee money. And every year I put that letter in the trash. I didn't want their money because it always came with strings. Got it? Yeah. I can also argue the other side over here. Sometimes God works in amazing and mysterious ways to bless his people and to get his work done, even if it means using the unrighteous. What do you do? Well, in this particular case, they let the man buy some milk on his way to hell. But you see, what I'm saying is that there's validity to both sides, and it's kind of tough. Sometimes decisions in life are complicated. Yeah. You see, sometimes they're that way. Now, let's make a few observations as we move towards our main point here at the end. There's another thing here that's important. We are going to live among weeds. Truth is, we probably all got a little weed in us, right? Yeah. I'm a mixed bag, truth be known. Yeah. I'd like y'all to think I'm just pure, but I got a little weed in me. Yeah. You get all that. But we're going to live among weeds. And we're going to see evil done. And we're going to sometimes be tempted to say, they're getting away with it. Why not me? Everybody else is doing it. Why not me? When I worked at Sonic Drive-In, one of my jobs in high school, they had a policy there. They would give you like a 10% discount on food, but you had to buy your meals. So there was a time during the evening when you could eat, but you had to buy it. That was their policy. Well, if you were ever working a double, like on a Saturday, where you had the morning shift and you had the afternoon shift, I mean, there were times I might be there all day. You get 16 hours in on some of those days, you know? Well, typically the manager would go home in the afternoon. Now, when the manager's out, what do some people do? They fill up at the fountain. They put some fries in. They cook themselves a burger. Yeah. What am I going to do? Am I going to pay for it? Or am I going to eat free? See? There's challenges there. Because the truth is, somebody always has to be at the front. So when they would do this, the fountain, we call them fountain. The fountain was the one that do the drinks and everything. She's up there at the front, and what's she doing? She's on lookout. You could see him pull in. By the time he pulls in, there is enough time to easily get rid of all the evidence. Yeah. But it's a challenge when you work these things and you see people get away and you sometimes want to pull it. And I'm here to say, I think one thing that we have to remember is whatever the evil is in this world, in whatever ways in which it may perceive to us that evil is winning, we don't join it. We good, church? We don't join it. You pay for your food at Sonic. You pay for it. Yeah. So don't do what they do. Now, this does not mean, I don't believe, that we don't ever confront evil. Okay? We don't ever confront evil. We do. But I think it's a lesson about we have to be very careful and godly about how we confront evil. Now, in recent years, and this is probably really starting to be in the history books now a little bit, perhaps, but probably an example of that would be maybe the Civil Rights Movement. I think there was wisdom in what Martin Luther King Jr. did by saying, we're going to oppose this, but we're going to do it non-violently. There was wisdom in that. I think there was godly wisdom in coming at it that way. Okay. If you want something that's a little more current, and again, I'm trying to use some extreme examples because I could get closer to home if you want me to. You want me on toes this morning or you want me to? Well, okay. I'm going to lay it out there. You get the principle. I'll just go ahead and state my opinion. I think abortion is a terrible thing. Okay? I do not believe for a moment, and I think it is ungodly to bomb abortion clinics to stop it. Yes, I want to see it stopped. But it is wrong to sit outside an abortion clinic with a rifle and a scope and wait for the doctor that does the abortions to come out and shoot him. It's wrong. Okay? It's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. That is not the way God wants. But people that do those type of things, they'll tell you. They'll say, I got rid of a weed. I'm not going to say it in exactly those words. That doctor that does those abortions will never do another one, right? Well, that's true, but it's not godly. Okay? So again, I'm picking something here that's current. I mean, the abortion debate is current in this country, isn't it? How we confront that is something we need to do, but we need to do it in a way that is godly and that we don't become like them. Does that make sense, church? Okay. There's something else that's important in this lesson. God is not the only one at work in this world. God is at work in this world to do good. Okay? I believe that. God is at work in this world. But in this parable, there is something else at work, isn't there? It's the devil. We got to take that seriously. Sometimes I never know what to do with it, but sometimes I cringe when we attribute evil in the world to God. Sometimes I hear some terrible tragedy, and people out of certain theological backgrounds and understandings will come back and say, well, I don't know why God did this, but I'm sure He has a plan. I'm not there, folks. I think there are some things that the devil does in this world, and his followers and his minions do, that is their work. And to attribute it to God and say, well, I don't know why God did this tragedy, but you see what I'm saying? God is not the only one at work in this world. I think this parable teaches that. Until the Lord comes and gets everything right, we're going to still deal with evil. We're not going to ever get rid of all of it. I'd like to. I would like to, but it's not going to happen. And that's a frustration. Now, eventually, according to this parable, what's God going to do? He's going to deal with it. And I love the end of the explanation where it basically says, when God finally deals with it, His children are going to shine. That sounds good to me. So one of the points out of this lesson is, where do you want to be at the end? You want to be one of the ones shining. You want to be one of the ones that are shining. So we've always got to remember, because it's frustrating in this world, evil will be dealt with by God and His harvesters. Okay? It's going to be dealt with. And then we get the chance to shine like we should. Now, I say all that to move into this. Now, this is just me. I have a certain attraction for the Amish. I don't know, there's just something in me that has a certain attraction. This notion of, we're going to live over here by ourselves, and we're going to create this little community, and this little community is going to center around God and His Word. And just personally, growing up in the country, I just like the agrarian lifestyle. You know, there's just an attraction to that for me. I like that notion of growing your crops and doing your own thing. And personally, just maybe it's a sin in me, but I like the idea of self-sufficiency. There's just something there that likes that. I don't really want to depend on anybody. All I'm saying is that there's a part of me that is really attracted to utopian ideals. I'm not sure if that's what God sent us here to do. I'm not sure. You see, here's one of the points I want to make. And let's lay down a principle. We've talked about it before. Don't build all of your theology out of one parable. Okay? It's dealing with a slice. It's trying to teach a lesson. There are other truths to be pulled out somewhere. And here's what I want to come to at the end. And I think this may be the most important thing. See, our tendency is to want to say to God, God, could you please pull the weeds? I'll be happy to help. Point them out. I'll go get them. Yeah. And what does God say in this parable? No. And there's a powerful reason for that too. See, one of the things that God is able to do, working through us and with us, is sometimes weeds can become wheat. Sometimes weeds can become wheat. You want to know about a weedy place? I can tell you about a weedy place. It's called Huntsville, Texas. It's where the prison system is. We got lots of people. We got lots of weeds in Walker County. I mean, it's you could. There's a lot of weeds there. Trust me. We should thank God for the people that go into the prison system and try to change weeds. That's a hard work. For a lot of different reasons I don't have time to get into this morning. But let me talk about one for a moment. There's a friend of mine. Well, he got to be a friend there when I was in Huntsville. His name's Freddie Anderson. If you ever get a chance to go hear Freddie speak, he's a jewel. Take your time and go do it. Freddie's been a long-time prison minister there in Huntsville. And teaching our college class, they wanted to talk about the death penalty. And I said, Freddie, why don't you come in here and talk about this to these kids? Now, let me go ahead and tell you, Freddie's take on the death penalty is he's opposed to it. He thinks it's wrong, shouldn't do it. Because he works with guys on death row. He visits with them. Yeah. And one of the things, and of course, it's kind of, some things fade with time. This was a bigger name at a certain particular point in time, but there's a guy named Clyde Thompson, and Freddie tried to tell him a little bit of the story about Clyde Thompson. And in fact, I was thinking about that, and I checked with Joe this morning. Joe's had Clyde in his house, spent the night, and heard him speak before. Clyde Thompson was given the designation of the meanest man in Texas. Multiple-time murderer, inside the prison and out. And he didn't give himself that designation. The prison officials gave it to him. So if these guys work with the worst of the worst and they say that one's the meanest, I trust them. And there's a book out, if you ever want to read it, it's called The Meanest Man in Texas, and it's a story of Clyde Thompson's life. During his time in prison, Clyde Thompson became a Christian. And later when he got out, he spent time doing all kinds of great and wonderful things. And y'all can pick Joe's brain about it if you want to a little bit here today. And that's one of the things that Freddie would point out. He'd say, guys, what about Clyde? It would have been a tragedy to have killed that man. Now, I realize there's tremendous debate on the death penalty and those types of things. I'm just giving you Freddie's perspective on it and why he comes at it. You see, Freddie would stand, if he was here this morning, he would stand here and say, don't pull the weeds. Work with them. Work with them. We're gonna live with weeds, folks. Now, there's one more verse. Go ahead and bring that next one up, Molly. Let's bring up our next verse. This comes from John chapter 17. This is Jesus praying, just to get context. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Now, we know that from our sermon this morning. There's an evil one at work in the world, right? They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. I feel that way. How about you? Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Pause for a moment. I didn't have time to go there this morning, but this is the part in the parable where it talks about having good seed and sowing that. Okay. Another sermon. I could have done a whole series, I realized, out of this, dealing with weeds. You know, so we'll do that down the road. How about it? As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Now go back to that part there where he says, as you sent me into the world. Probably the most famous verse in John is 3:16. For God so loved the world. Now I learned it this way. For God so loved the world that he gave. Is it fair to say, for God so loved the world that he sent his only son into it to live among a bunch of weeds? Yeah. And he is saying here in this text, Father, you have sent me, now I'm sending them. You see, through the power of God, weeds can become wheat. Let's be busy about that. My first reaction is to just pull them. And you see, this is true all the way through, isn't it? I told you earlier, I got some weed in me. You do too. You know what? Everywhere I've been in the church, each individual congregation has got weeds in it, doesn't it? The world has got what? Weeds in it. You're not going to get away from them. We work with them. And through the power of God, weeds become wheat. We good, church? All right. We'll stop there. I know that a song has been selected. We're going to sing that in just a moment. I'll be waiting at the back. I don't know what's on your hearts and minds this morning, but this is a chance for us to pray about it, talk about it, or take care of whatever it is that needs to be taken care of. Let's stand and sing.